It's a Friday in Dominica. Good morning, Dominica. Wherever you are, whatever you may be doing at this time, a little tongue tied there. Night number one, World Creole Music Festival.
Daddy, daddy, it'll make you want to spend all your money. Hey, yeah.
See as my waist they go.
95.1.
See as my waist they go. Not only you fit to make me roll.
107.5. To the many, many, many visitors in Dominica this time.
Baby,
Dominica for the three nights of pulsating rhythms. Welcome to Dominica. Movado is no longer on the lineup for Sunday, but Cecile and First Serenade. The boys from The Point on the lineup for Sunday. Congratulations, First Serenade. All right, Dominica, welcome back. Of course, we started talk. I did promise you another, you know, series, meeting the politicians, getting up close and personal. This morning, we have in studios, the studios of Q95, the hot seat here this morning, Mr. Joseph Isaac, out of the Roseau Central seat, representing the opposition, United Workers' Party. We're going to go straight into it. Of course, I did tell you that we give an hour to, and I will be trying to reach every politician in contesting in this year's upcoming election. Well, this is the third in the series, and we say good morning to Mr. Joseph Isaac. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Matt, and good morning to the listeners in Dominica and overseas, and a special good morning to the people of Roseau Central.
Roseau Central, big activity this evening. Starting off the season, the World Creole Music Festival.
Yes,
in your constituency.
Exactly. You know, the World Creole Music Festival is dear to my heart because at the time when it was envisaged by the United Workers Party, at the time I was on the NDC board at the time. So from the inception, I've been involved with the World Creole Music Festival.
You were a member of the board at a very young age.
Young age, as the youngest there. In fact, people like Thomas Baptist, people like the chairman at the time, we had Sheridan Gregoire, the general manager. So I've been associated with the NDC from since those times, and also when I was working in the Ministry of Trade, I used to represent Owen LaRocque at the board level. So I really have been associated with the NDC at the time, at a very early age, at 23, 24 years.
Maybe we'll come back to that sometime later in terms of where it was then and where it is today, whether, you know, you think a lot has changed. But we can talk about that. We had to talk about you this morning, Mr. Joseph Isaac. Born in Roseau?
Yes, born in Roseau, born River Street, well, Princess Margaret Hospital. But you know it is, you actually, after you leave Princess Margaret Hospital, you actually grow up a certain place. So from the age of, let's say, 2 weeks or 1 week, River Street actually. And then...
how many years you stayed there?
I stayed River Street in the first stint from 0 to 10 years. Then okay. Then we had a little short period where I stayed in Kings Hill for about a year. Then after that, we moved to Great Marlborough Street for 3 years.
Okay.
But all that time, from the time I came back to Great Marlborough Street, I was living both Great Marlborough Street and River Street up till when I was like 19, 20 years.
A lot of movement there as a young person.
Well, it wasn't a lot of movement because just in regards to houses, just 3 houses actually.
Okay.
In my entire life in terms of Roseau. I mean, after that, when I traveled, it was different, but within Dominica, In my first 30 years, it's just three homes.
Okay. So you actually still stay in Roseau?
Yes. I built in Pocasset, mm-hmm. but when I'm in Tong, I stay with my mom in Kings Hill.
Okay.
You know, so because she's 79 years, it's only she lived there, a three-bedroom house, so I have to play my part, you know. And for a long time, I was the only child, her child in Dominica.
Was it a struggle for you growing up?
I would not say it was a struggle because I think growing up in River Street, for example, I'm the last child of both my mother and my father. So growing up in River Street, I was protected by my brothers and also by the guys of River Street. So in regards to bullying, I never went through that.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to the home upbringing, we had food on our table. It was tough for my mom and my dad. My mom...
But they worked hard. My mom
and my dad worked very hard. My mom worked at the Princess Margaret Hospital. At the time, they were calling them maid, like that is the equivalent of like a warded
mm-hmm.
at the time. And my dad now was working at External Trade Bureau because by that time he had already left the port. Mm-hmm. He used to work at the port. He had already left the port in the years I can remember. And he was working at External Trade Bureau to get a Bogo Roy was the general manager at the time.
Yes.
And I used to go there and meet him. He was the security guard there. At the same time, he had his garden in Gota. So we used to be going up Gota every day. Well, every weekend,
mm-hmm.
actually, we'd go up there. Eat mango barb, you know. Eat our pawpaw. He'd peel our kin for us, you know. So I wouldn't say... It was a struggle for me, but it was a struggle for my parents. But you see, when you are the last child, mostly everybody is big already, so mm-hmm. you get the support of everybody.
Everybody's you protecting know? You.
Yes, yes. So, but my mother and my father really worked very, very hard. And I mean, I used to see it. I cannot remember any time where they get any handout from anybody, actually. My father had cows, you know,
mm-hmm.
so he would have to go and sell the milk. He had like mango bitter skin and barb, so we'd have to go and sell the mango bitter skin and the barb. But at the time, mm-hmm. I used to be like, you know, I want to sell it fast, you know?
Okay.
So I used to give discount and, you know, as a kid, you know? So that's, for me, now I see it as fun, you know, going out and having to sell the mango barb and bring the milk. But my father had it established where the milk, we were not trying to haggle. We'd go direct to people it was pre-sealed already.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd just go and deliver the milk to them, the cow's milk to them.
Okay. You know? What tell me something about your schooling.
My schooling, I went to, at the time, in Great Marlborough Street, Pong area, there was something called the Mixed Infant. But before that, I went to, they call it the Quesh, up at the opposite SMA there. I went to there as a kid, as an infant. Then from there, I went to the Roseau Boys School, as I tell you at the time. No, sorry, not the Roseau Boys School, the Mixed Infant School, which was in Great Marlborough Street, Pong area. It was really for young people and mixed. I stayed there up to about 7 years. And then now there was something called, there's a transition from the Mixed Infant School to go to boys school. You'd have to spend a year in the Roseau Girls School. So at the time, boys had to spend a year in Roseau Girls School. So I went to Roseau Girls School for 1 year. Some of the ladies could remember me as a kid there in class with them in Roseau Girls School.
Troublesome?
Yes. That's what they said. because I was very active and energetic.
Mm-hmm.
I could not stay one place. I was full of energy. And then from there, I went to the Roseau Boys School. At the time, the Roseau Boys School was where the All Saints University is. So that's where, but oh, I forget to tell you, the Roseau Girls School is exactly where we have the Windsor Park Stadium. At the front of the Windsor Park itself, there was a long stretch of building there, and it was called the Roseau Girls School. And then I went to boys school, as I said, at the where the health center was, and now All Saints is there now. So guys used to be playing football in the yard in boys school, you know? So I remember people like Mike George, people like Kokoshu, those guys there, when I was very young, playing their ball in the boys' school area. And from there, from boys' school, I went to the Dominica Grammar School.
How well did you do at the Common Entrance?
I came out something like 22nd in the Common Entrance, so I got a scholarship.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then the grammar school, 5 years.
Yeah, well, I spent 5 years. Actually, I had a choice to choose grammar school or SME. My sister registered me at SME, but I registered at grammar school. So actually, they called my name in SME several times, but they never see me. I decided to go to grammar school.
Why grammar school and not SME at the time?
Because at the time when I saw the guys, Irvin Guy, Clint Roberts, and all those guys there,
for
Roddy
Deja,
yes, they were playing football, and I saw grammar school actually beat Harlem in the knockout championship in football. So I was like, I want to go to grammar school because I want to be grammar school football captain, you know.
Did that happen eventually?
Yes, it happened actually. I started playing grammar school as I entered under 14 as the vice captain then. By the time we moved to under 16, I was the captain. So the captaincy was being shared between a guy called Glenn Yard and myself from since we under 14. So by the time I reached fourth form, I was the senior team of grammar school. I'm captain. People like Eustace Marshall as his captain, you know? Yeah, but although he was a year ahead of me. So.
You always loved sports. I remember you always loving sports.
Yes. I played against SME, you know?
But always loving sports and always doing well in school as well.
Yes, well.
Good balancing act there.
Yes, I think the school part, I would say, was a gift and also some level of discipline. Because it came natural. It wasn't hard. You know, it wasn't hard.
School was never really hard.
Never. So from grammar school again, I got a scholarship to go to sixth form college. You know? So it was never really hard, you know? And I was, and I'm saying that because I think young people need to know what they want. You have to surround yourself by the best in everything you do. So for example, in my academic life, I was surrounded by the best. So you know Geoffrey Laffo. When I was in grammar school, I got to know him, I was his friend. Bruce Phillip, all the top students in grammar school, in SME, I was very close to them, even if they were like a year, 2 years ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And also in sports. So for example, I'd go and talk to Yaga Kentish, I would talk to Coco Shu. I remember once Coco Shu was helping Ian Pascal, a really good left footer on grammar school team in terms of forward playing striker. And we went there to actually learn some skills from Coco Shu on Saturday in hot sun, you know, as our personal, you know, personal assistance from him. So again, and also Yaga Kentish helped us in terms of the corner kick. Maybe he cannot even remember that. And we would like every Saturday go and kick a lot of corner kicks, Ian Pascal and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember now on the 19 against Barber State, Ian Pascal, well, I tried the first corner kick in the right footer. It hit the bar. Then Ian Pascal tried the second corner kick with the left footer, and it actually scored in the V. And every time she and Anthony meets me, he tell me he just feels like crying because that's the greatest goal he saw. And he was playing for Barber State at the time. I think he was Barber State captain at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we were always looking for perfection in whatever we do. So even in the academics, I would try to look for perfection, try to do the best I could do. In fact, in grammar school, so while I was grammar school football captain, I was also like the grammar school science representative in terms of like all when it had national quiz, I was the representative. Dr. Darrow and myself actually represented grammar school and at the national science quiz and end up in the finals against SME, you know, against Geoffrey Levy and Clyde Serendo. So that was just the academics. But for me, the fun part was never the academics. The fun part was the sports and liming with the guys in school.
You left the grammar school. What did you do after the grammar school? You went to the sixth form college at the time.
Yes.
After that, what happened to Isaac?
Well, again, after sixth form, I got a scholarship to go to study.
Was that immediately or?
No. I spent 1 year. So after I graduated from grammar school, I went to sixth form. So I met people like Dale Dangerben, Eustace Fontin, you know, people like Jason Alexander, Kenneth Daru, Edgar Hunter.
Yes.
You know, so all those bright guys and ladies, Dermot Sotwell's daughter, Nicole Amor, Estelle Amor. So a whole, even Emmanuel Nanton, that's where we met, you know. And after that, I taught at grammar school for a year. I taught chemistry, physics, and maths for a year at grammar school.
And then you moved on.
Yes, yes. I got a scholarship to go to New Mexico to study industrial engineering.
Why engineering? Did you ever figure it out? I was just, you know.
Well,
everybody doing engineering, so I'm going to do engineering too.
No, no, no. It was always a, well, I had three things I was thinking of. It was medicine, engineering, or either physics or chemistry, like a PhD in physics or chemistry. But at the time, based on my personality, the same full of energy type of personality, I didn't want to sit at a desk. So I said, I'd rather go into something where I'm in the field, you know? And also the medicine part, what had really make me be very cautious about medicine, it was because medicine was, or to me, I always see it as being sad, you know? It always is like a sad situation. You have to take care of somebody suffering.
Trying to save
yes.
a life.
Yeah, so I could not, at the time, I couldn't really deal with the fact that somebody is suffering and I have to be there, you know? So I couldn't really deal with it. So I figure that I would do medicine, engineering instead.
Okay, we're going to take a break and come back right after this. We're talking to Joseph Isaac from the Roseau Central constituency.
The best season of them all has started only at Courts. Shop today and get free gifts with the purchase of selected products. Get a chance to win $8,000 in cash when you purchase any Frigidaire appliance. Shop with Courts, ready finance and pay absolutely nothing for 60 days. So come in today and make this the best season ever. Only at Courts, bringing value home.
Dominica, you've got a $60 million upgrade from Lime. We've been keeping Dominicans connected to loved ones at home and abroad for over 80 years. That's why we've committed to this upgrade, to make sure that we're one of the best connected countries. It means communities and businesses across Dominica will have even greater reliability, capability, and coverage. Upgrade Dominica. Upgrade to the number one network, Lime.
Upgrade to Lime.
Making your water safe to drink during and after floods and storms. Water for drinking and domestic use should be free from all disease-causing bacteria and poisonous chemicals.
All right, Dominica, we're back here with Joseph Isaac, and we were talking about his school days up to university days. You came back after, was it New Mexico?
At New Mexico, again, and I didn't even mention that, but when I graduated from sixth form, we established a club called Cicero Pacers Athletics Club. Wilson, Felix Wilson, myself, Cedric Harris, and some other people, Sharon, Philogen. When I went to New Mexico to study, I actually was on the track team. And also I was the president of the Caribbean Student Association. Although I got a scholarship to study industrial engineering, at the time, I also studied, I did a degree in economics at the same time, you know?
So you did a double major?
No, it's not a double major. Double major is like when you're in the same college,
mm-hmm.
and then within the same college, you do different things. So for example, a double major would be like accounting and economics mm-hmm. in the same college. But I did, my roommate from St. Lucia and myself did something that has never been done before, where somebody do 2 degrees in 2 separate colleges at the university. Because what happened is, you see, like at the state college, you have different departments or faculties.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the university, you have the College of Engineering, you have the College of Arts and Science, you have the College of Business Administration and Economics, etc., okay. etc. Mm-hmm. So I was at the College of Engineering and also at the College of Business Administration and Economics. So 2 separate degrees, a Bachelor of Arts in Economics and a Bachelor of Science in Engineering.
How did you do that? That takes a lot.
Well, remember what I told you, Matt? Since I was small, I've been doing a lot of different things. So although I was doing the 2 degrees, I was also the president of the Caribbean Student Association. I was on the track team of the university, so I had to travel a lot. I think when you do a lot of different activities, you learn to start planning properly, you know, and set your priorities and your timing.
So you know how to balance things
yes,
properly.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So that's how I've always been.
Okay. So right after this, you came back to Dominica?
Yes, yes. When I graduated, we graduated on the 18th of December, something like that.
Yeah.
I took a plane on the 19th of December to return.
you couldn't wait to come home?
Well, we were bonded. because it was a scholarship, and to me, if I make an agreement, I honor the agreement.
Okay.
You know, some of my friends did not return from different Caribbean countries, but I returned the next day after graduation.
And you came back to what?
Well, I came back, and the first place I worked, I worked at the Ministry of Trade. At the time, the Freedom Party was in government. I worked in the Ministry of Trade with Erwin LaRock as the PS. That was the first job I got.
Okay. And then you moved on after that?
Well, yeah, I stayed there about a year and a half, so working with Brian Bellevue, and myself was working there.
Brian now is back in London.
Yes, you know, so we... By the time I got appointed technical officer, that is maybe after 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
After about a year after that, I resigned and I went to the private sector to work with Bello.
How long you stayed at Bello?
I stayed there with about approximately a year. And what I have to say is, in regards to the resigning from the ministry, it is because Bello wanted me to come and work for them. At the time, Mr. Fagan wanted me to come and work with him.
You saw the energy there.
Yes, yes. And then when I was working at Bello, Patrick Pemberton came to fix, you remember, the grammar school when we had the processing of the grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
There, I and the rest of the team of Bello that actually led by me, we relaunched that processing of the grapefruit from starting the plant all over again. And that's where I got to meet Patrick Pemberton one-on-one. I knew him as a sportsman, but as a professional, meet him there, and he was impressed. So at the time, Colgate advertised a job for industrial engineering, and well, I applied, and Lennox interviewed me with Patrick Pemberton, and I got a job to work at Colgate Palmolive.
And you stayed there about 2 or 3 years?
No, 5 years.
5 years?
Yeah. So I stayed there. I worked there as an industrial engineer. I also worked there, and I was the plant manager of the plant that does disinfectant, pine action, those different things, and also blow molding, like that is blowing of bottles and all that. So I was the production manager there, or the focus factory manager there. Then I moved to become the overall purchasing manager at Colgate Palmolive Dominica. I did that, and again, at the time I'd already moved, imagine, as industrial engineer for the site, and also like a regional industrial engineer. Then I moved to plant manager. Then I moved to purchasing manager. As I tell you, I always do a lot of things. So I thought that at the time with engineering and just economics, I needed to diversify more, you know, because at a very young age, that time I was still below 30. So
doing all of that?
Yeah, so I decided I should go and study again.
And you went back?
Yeah, I went back, you know.
What did you do this time?
I did a master's in business administration with a focus in finance and information technology.
Isaac, if I have to follow your CV by paper, it might take me a couple of days here. Very qualified young man, came back to Dominica even after his master's degree. Never thought of working elsewhere?
Well, remember when I was working Colgate Palmolive, I would go to Guatemala, I would go to Jamaica, I would go different places. I think those things there, and also when you played sport, like you played sports in the past, your confidence level is high. So you when I went to the US, I had the option of staying in the US or returning, but I really wasn't comfortable at my age. By that time I was around 30 now,
mm-hmm.
you know, to really start from scratch and build new network and all that. And also, to me, I always had a passion for the Caribbean, and specifically Dominica.
You wanted to come back?
Yes, yes.
Always?
Always. So after graduating, maybe about three to four months, I returned to Dominica again.
Doing what this time?
Well, again, no, I worked with, well, from overseas, the OECS paid my passage to come down for an interview. So I came down to, did an interview. At the time it was on the USAID project, and the OECS Export Development Unit was led by Colin Bully. So again, I got the job, and I worked with Colin Bully, you know, as the boss of the OECS Export Development Unit.
Unit at the time. And I remember you doing a lot of training overseas.
Yes,
the OECS.
So I worked at the OECS for 5 years. And there, I was an industrial engineering specialist, business advisor across the region. So I'd go to different places like St. Lucia, like the Grenada Sugar Factory. I did the redesign of the entire factory for them. So, and it is a major initiative, it's not small. You know, in St. Lucia, I did some design for Windward Pasta, that's the tenderoni macaroni company, you know, and some others, you know, by just highlighting some of them. In Grenada, again, I did one for De La Grenade, that's, she does, she's the governor general now. She does liquor, nutmeg liquor, and other. That is one of her main products. And in Dominica, I did a lot of work in terms of advising Benjo Simos.
Enjoyed your stay with the OECS?
Yeah, man. I think it was very exciting, challenging, but very exciting. The work was never boring, you know, so I stayed there for 5 years.
And you moved on. I was told that you were given a job by government.
Well, yes. I moved on to go and run a project for the government, the Business Gateway. That's an EU-funded project. Under the Labour Party government, at the Labour Party administration. So I ran that project for them for about 2.5 years. And then after that project, they thought that it was successful. I mean, it was designed a certain way, so we implemented based on the design. Because I was not the person designing the project. I took up the job to implement the designed project. You can do slight adjustment, but under the EU, you cannot really just do a radical change. So I implemented that. Then they hired me to do another project that's called the implementation of the National Export Strategy. Again, that project was already designed, you know, it's based on a document that everybody agreed. The Business Gateway project was better funded. The National Export Strategy was not really funded significantly. And then there are a lot of things we could not do too, you know, in terms of shifting. Again, that was again a UK aid project sponsored by the UK government. After that finish, the government recommended me to do a consultancy under the World Bank, on the investment climate, the facilitator for a consultancy to bring stakeholders together and to look at investment climate in Dominica and make recommendations to how we can improve the investment climate.
How was the relationship with government then? You enjoyed your stint?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, as a professional, I deal with everything as a professional. So I would say, yes, in terms of working with the pro-technical people and the other professionals, I really enjoyed it. I don't make myself become frustrated about things, you know. I just go with the pace, and where I can make the changes, I make the changes. I'm very outspoken. So even in meetings, the government would realize my point of views. Because when we had management meeting of the Ministry of Trade, I would make my points clear. For example, as one of the person who clearly told them in a management meeting that that I regretted investing in Dominica while I was working on the project for the government. I told them that in a management meeting, and I explained why. You know, I explained that the investment climate, that the government is not doing enough. And I told them that, for example, to make sure Dominica is the right place to invest, the enabling environment, you have to ensure the legislation is in place. You have to ensure that the small businesses get the correct support. And also, you have to ensure that your local indigenous businesses are doing well. So a foreigner can say, well, if they are doing well, then the things are good. And in terms of doing business, you try to streamline the amount of time it takes to do certain things, like to register a company, to get support in a particular area. For example, you want fiscal incentives. Does it take you 6 months, 3 months, or does it take you 24 hours or 48 hours, you know? So these are some of the issues that I was alluding to at the time. And I've always been outspoken as a professional. I don't pretend, so people know where I stand in regards to my professional opinion on matters.
Okay. Then you left us and I imagine began thinking about politics. Because even before, I'll be straight here with you, before you started representing or showing interest, I've always heard your name in political circles, that you may be interested in contesting the seat for the United Workers' Party. Is that so? Is that true, or is that just pure rumor?
Well, not rumor, but I would like to comment on one thing. While I was doing all those professional work, I invested in Dominica.
Right.
So I created a company called Island Rock Bakery. Then I branched out into IROC Subs and Pizza. And then now I got involved in doing a tourism project. Oh, no, so you're struggling on your own doing it again. Same thing about the investment climate.
Mm-hmm.
And then tourism project in Port Cassey. And also famine. You know, I went into commercial dashing production and all that. But to answer your question about the politics, yes, at the time, that's maybe 10 years ago, Julius Timofey and Earl Williams, together with Francis Emmanuel, they were encouraging it. They wanted me to run in for in Roseau Central. They thought that I would do very well if I run in Roseau Central. So they were encouraging it, you know. At the time, I'm always a Prevost man, you know. So because for me to do that, I had to get the endorsement from Mr. Prevost. But at the time, Mr. Prevost thought that he had the energy and he was still passionate about doing it. So I backed out, you know. I did not pursue it. And again, also my father told me that he doesn't think that I'm ready for that. I need to do more things. I need to gain more experience.
Why do you think you're ready now? Just to
well, I mean, based on my background, you'll realize in sports, in my professional life. Also, I told you about my childhood, you know. We didn't spend a lot of time talking about River Street and growing up Great Marlboro Street and the fun we had and the passion I have for Roseau. So I think, one, you have the experience, you have the training, and you also have to have the passion for your people. And I have the passion to alleviate my people from where they are. Because it's not, I did not grow up in with a rich family. I grew up with family, working class people that struggling, trying to make ends meet and taking care of their children. So I understand that your struggle. I understand that when your mom, for example, you have several, you have to share the meat. It cannot be everybody eating a big plate of meat. So you have to try to conserve on it. I understand those sacrifices. I understand that, for example, when you need, let's say, a pair of shoes, you can't want to get 3-4 pairs of shoes. You have to understand that you have one pair of shoes and that shoe is to go to school. And then the other one is to go to church. And then you have your little shoe to lime. So I understand those type of sacrifices that poor people make, because I did not grow up well off, you know. So I grew up in a humble situation, so I understand that. And also I think, by if you realize the diverse background I have and experience, I think, and also while working with the Labour Party government, I realize the inadequacies, you know. And I think they are trying their best, but I think that people like myself and Lennox Linton and the rest of our team, I think we are bringing much more experience to the table that could make a major difference for Dominica.
Dominica, we're talking to Joseph Isaac, and I'm going to give you a chance. Of course, we have limited time this morning. I noticed, even talking to these guys for the past few days, that 1 hour will never be enough. Why do you think, Joseph Isaac, sticking to the politics, that you may be a better candidate than the Labour Party candidate?
Well, again, I think
he too is from Roseau.
Yes, yes, yes. And actually, people don't know that. But he and I used to be like drinking and entertaining ourselves by Stoneface Bar, and you know, so we know each other very long. When I was working at the ministry also, we used to interact, we used to talk. So I knew him for a very long time. I think honestly, if you look at our background, our track record, you can see, for me, you know that I'm a person that can deliver. And I think that is the main
So you have a track record for delivery?
Yes.
And you don't think Mr.
Yes, with all due respect,
doesn't have that?
No. If he has it, it's not at the same level. You understand? And I mean, he's my friend, so that's why I have never said anything negative where he's concerned. I think we put ourselves there to run for office. I think the best man should win, and the best man should represent the different constituencies.
And you think you're the best man?
Yeah, and not only me. I think people are saying that.
And that's not boasting?
No. I don't boast. I pass that stage, you know what I mean? And my record should speak for itself. But even, for example, when you look at the Labour strategy, they were questioning him as the candidate. You know,
they wanted to find a replacement.
Yes, we find a replacement. And because of those type of complaints by some of the Labour Party supporters.
Dominica, we're talking to Joseph Isaac, the candidate for the United Workers Party, replacing Mr. Prevost in Roseau. Somebody says here on the WhatsApp message, I remember track and field every independence at the Windsor Park. School days were very happy days with Joseph Isaac. Somebody says here from overseas, the young man is such and inspiration. Another person says, Matt, I worked with him in his rental business, Zick's Car Rentals. You didn't tell us about that. He was a very good paying boss man, honest and true to his word.
Yes.
Some good stuff there about.
Yes, and interestingly, well, I forget to mention that. But, and remember what I told you, most of the, all the investment I did were not full-time. They were, I was never part of like working in it day-to-day. You understand? It was, they were really investments, and now I'm really involved in running a business like full time, you know? I've always been a professional.
Always?
Yeah, always been a professional.
I think still the same, because we've been hearing some word around that things are not, you're not doing too well in business these days. How do you respond to that?
Well,
Is that a result of your doing, or is it a result of
I'll do like some of my mentors. When I ask Mr. Suki or Mr. Macmillan how are things, he say, well, you know, things can be better, you know. Yeah. So I would say things can be better. And remember, I spoke about the investment climate. When you decide to go into business, you look at something we call a PES, political, economic, social, and technological. The political, I would say generally, Dominica, is stable. Technology-wise, we have all the internet, we have all the different things, so that's not a problem. Our biggest challenge at business people in Dominica is the economic and social. The people, in terms of disposable income, it is shrinking. Social, you have a lot of migration. So your population is shrinking, and the people at the here doesn't have a lot of money. So I would not say, in regards to performance of the business, I have a responsibility. But the bigger part of it, the bigger part of it is the investment climate, the economic condition of the country. And the question is, I was talking to somebody who works with the government, across the board, corporate income tax has dropped and VAT revenue has dropped. And it is because consumption has dropped in Dominica and business performance across the board has dropped in terms of performance. So I'm facing the same challenges that all the other businesses are facing. When the rain falls on one man rooftop, it falls on mine too, not the one man rooftop it falling on.
You know the politics, as we get closer to the election, can and will get dirty. Are you ready to deal with the gutter politics?
Matt, let me tell you something, and I think the Dominican people, and especially young people, need to understand. That's my philosophy. If you are my friend, my family, and you say something negative about me, it will affect me. If you are not my friend, we are not close, and because of politics you want to look for the worst thing to say about me, it will not affect me. I'll just treat it and put it in the hands of God. Simple as that.
People might say, well, they'll find things in your cobweb. That's what they say. Mm-hmm. They'll go look for dirty things about you. Do you think there's anything out there that somebody might say about you that may destroy you?
Matt, no. But to be honest with you, I'm not perfect. I've never been perfect. In regards to treatment of the elderly, you can't say anything negative about me. I respect the elderly. In regards to honesty, you can't say anything about me. So the platform...
So you speak your mind.
Yes. And the platform that the United Workers Party is running on in terms of honesty and integrity, you can't say anything negative about me. The only thing somebody could say in regards to, like, as a man, in terms of our personal life, like, for example, you might have a little relationship, you have a little cheek of the past, and it didn't work, and maybe the person was hurt or something like that. That is the only thing. But nothing else. Nothing, I'm telling you, nothing else. Anything they bring will just be a waste of time.
And you can and will be able to deal with it.
Well, I will not maybe even deal with it, because I know it will be a lie. There is nothing, as I said, I'm not a saint, I'm not perfect, but what have I done? Imagine, think of it. Mm-hmm. The Labour Party employed me or engaged me in contractual arrangement 3 times. If I was a bad person, why were you engaging me? If I was not good at what I do, why were you engaging me? So what can you say now? That is why I don't say any negative thing about Kenneth Daru. Because we have been friends for many years, so why would I want to say negative things about him now? Julius Timofey has his challenges, but I've always been his good friend. We have always been okay. Why would I know, because I'm in politics, say something negative about him? And you realize I've never said anything negative about Alvin Bernard. That is not my personality. Leave it to the devil type of evil type of mentality. People with that type of mentality, leave that to them. And you don't have to always defend those things. Let people talk. But remember, I told you, the only area is in the area where all of us have gone through it. You understand me? You know, in our personal relationships, you know, in life, you know, that kind of thing. That you may, somebody can maybe, you maybe hurt somebody along the way, so somebody can maybe criticize or something like that.
449-3095, 449-3096, 449-3097. These are the numbers. We're going to take a few more phone calls. And maybe the last 5 minutes, I'll ask Mr. Joseph Isaac about his plans for the Roseau Central seat. It seems many people think it's going to be very, very close. He can talk about it as well. We'll find out why he may think it's not that close as people are predicting. But we'll take a few phone calls. Good morning. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Madam. How are you?
Good, good.
Good morning, Mr. Isaac.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning,
sir.
I listened to you, Mr. Isaac, and then I see man. What a man. Humble, who has gone through the years and doing his best to achieve what he has achieved. That is the kind of representative we need. Honest, integrity, and a man who is humble. Mr. Isaac, I wish you all the best. Thank you.
Sir.
All right, let's take more phone calls here, this time from the overseas lines.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good.
And Isaac Boboroi, what's up?
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good, good. Matt, I'm very, very happy about Isaac on the radio today because I don't know much about him personally because, you know, when I left Dominica a long time ago, but I know a lot about his father. But what I've been hearing about this guy on that other show, I mean, it's unbelievable what I'm hearing this guy say today. How can you have a man like this? And to go criticizing him because he had a bakery at the bakery field. To me, that is not fair. You know what I mean? And I'm really happy that he's on today and Dominicans has an opportunity to hear who this guy is. I knew his father for a very long time. In fact, we went to school together when I was at Newtown. We used to call it big school and small school, just by the Savannah. And I was in the small school, he was in the big school. Then we followed each other until we played football together. I remember when I first made the Dominica team, that team did not travel. He and I made the Dominica team. And then after, thanks to Mr. Patrick John, when I was manager of ETB, he gave he told me, well, to give this guy an opportunity, and this guy worked with me, and our relationship that the father became even better. So I've known the family for a long time, and I've known the father for a long time, but I'm extremely, extremely proud of what I'm hearing from him today. And I hope a lot of people will now be convinced that this man really is the man that should be in the rural constituency. Thank you very much, man.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Good morning. All of my telephone lines are going here. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning, Matt. Good morning, Mr. Isaac.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Mr. Isaac, the team player. He comes well qualified as a team player, and that is what we need in a democratic arena. We do not need 10, 12, 18 dictators. It doesn't work, and we do not even need one dictator. One dictator who was a school teacher who never even had a business. Good morning.
Good morning, too. Let's go. Yes.
Good morning, Matt.
Morning.
Morning, Slyzat.
Who are you?
God blessings to you.
Yeah, thank you.
All that you have said, your achievement in life, I would like to ask you, what is the central part of your faith? Where your faith lies? I've not heard much said about God. And as a godly man myself, I'm following successes and failures. I want to ask you, what your faith looks like in God? I would like to hear a little bit of your faith, your Christian faith.
He wants to know something about your spirituality.
Okay, I'll answer that one first, and then I'll go to the business after. Well, I'm a Catholic, made First Communion, confirmed. I think what happened, first of all, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ, that he came on earth and shed his blood for us. I believe in that. Having traveled and studied different places and met different types of people, I've always kept my faith very close to me. rather than try to impose on people. And that's why I hardly talk about it. But I pray a lot, especially when I face challenges. I pray a lot. I go on my knees and I pray to God. But when you meet people, for example, you go to school and you're in the same class with a Muslim, you have to be careful what you talk about. You have to be sensitive to
people.
So
you don't try to impose.
Yes, you don't. Your religion. I never try to impose my religion and my politics on people. I went to grammar school, and in my class we had Jehovah's Witnesses, so I went to Jehovah's Witness Church with them. I went to Baptist Church up in Kings Hill. I went to Nazarene Church in River Street. I went to Pentecostal. So anytime you invite me, and if people invite me now, I go to church. I have no problem with that. Matthew Oak is the pastor. We sat on the same bench. We lime together. That is who I am. I just don't like to impose my own faith.
So
on
you would
people.
Say that you are a spiritual person, you're not a church going
no,
person.
No, I'm a very spiritual person, not church going in regards. And also it is because sometimes I see a lot of hypocrisy in the church, you know, so that is why I don't really talk about it too much. I'll go to any church since it impacts on my spiritual life.
All right, let's take a phone call.
Good morning, man.
Hello? Morning, yes.
Yes, morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Good.
I'm okay.
Very interesting program there this morning. Matt, I'd like to ask Mr. Isaac, what do you really say about Bakery has been established in the place where he had his bakery as a good manager and is doing very well. What would
you were asking, what would he say about what? The fact that his bakery. I didn't really get the question.
I didn't get the question.
It had something to
but
do.
Let me comment on the bakery.
Yes.
Remember what I said? I said, while I've been a professional, I didn't tell you about the car rental. Before I went to do my master's, I had a car rental. And what I did, I sold the cars to go and finance part of my studies. People in Dominica don't understand, a lot of them don't understand business and investment and wealth creation. I did not go into a bakery because I wanted to go into a bakery. I went into a bakery because of the business opportunity. I bought the equipment from my uncle. My uncle is Divorce Alexander. So he had a bakery equipment. I bought it from him. He helped me to establish it. I put a lot of people in place, supervisor, manager, etc. At the time, when I look at the bakery industry, I realize that it would not make sense to stay in the baking industry. And let me tell them why, so they can understand. Because the ministers are so hopeless intellectually that they don't understand business. In the bakery industry, you have many players. And in economics, we call it a perfect competitive market. Anytime you have a perfect competitive market, there is no major profitability in it. So this thing about if it have water and flour, it's going to make money. Ministers don't even understand economics and business. So I deliberately move into IROC subs and pizza to move away from bakery. Because the bakery, you are in Dominica, maybe you have over 500 bakeries. Think of it. You're in the industry, you have around 5 to around 7 major players. And then every little village, you have little players. So it is a perfect competitive market. It will never be profitable. You understand me? So I recognize that. So I deliberately phased out the bakery and was trying to sell the bakery. So the bakery was operational, producing only for Rosu as a production center for entire year. I moved to sell the bakery to the guy that owns Posse Bakery right now, but he actually double-crossed me, and I never talk about it. Also, we were facing a lot of challenges of theft and breaking and opening and all that by the general public in terms of they're using gun, they're using knife by the workers. Some of the workers decided that they do not want to work in the bakery. So because of those security issues, the industry issues, I make a decision that the best place where the value is in industry is in IROC Subs and Pizza in Rosu, where, for example, if I make a bread, I can make one bread and sell it for $1 with the bakery. I can make one bread, add value to it in the pizzeria, and sell it for $9.75. What would you do? So if the ministers understood those basic principles of economics, they would not be talking what they are talking about there. So they don't understand.
All right. We have a few more minutes here, and it's getting more interesting by the minute. Hello, talk to me.
Hello, morning, Matt.
Morning.
And morning to my River Street posse.
Morning, sir.
Isaac.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Joseph, I'm so proud of you, boy. If I was close to you, I would just kiss you on your cheek. I, Matt, and actually Dominicans do not know the dynamics of business. You in business, I mean you invest, I mean you take chances, sometimes you fail, sometimes you make it big. And Joseph and I share a lot in common. But I will not go into detail with my qualifications, but we have some similarities in degree and what have you. I'm really, really proud of you, Joseph Isaac. Keep up the good work. And definitely, that's what you call representation. That young man, if Dominicans do not vote for this young man, then something is radically wrong with them. Have a nice day, Matt. God bless you. Keep up the good work. God bless the Patriots. And God bless Dominica. Bye-bye.
Joseph, a lot of people trained and qualified like yourself decide that they are staying away from politics. Why are you taking this brave step?
Because it is the same genuine passion for people. I could stay, and I don't want to talk about the value in terms of salary, what I got before. But I could stay playing smiling in the Labour Party, getting consultancies, even if I know in my good conscience that Dominica is not going in the right direction. I think in black civilization, what we require is for the best of the black race to lead. Because you see, what happens a lot of time with our black civilization is when guys get qualified, they think they are better than others, and they think that is not for them. And that is why in a lot of black civilization, in Africa, in the Caribbean, you find now that the people leading and deciding policies for the people are not the best people. Because the professionals, the people that know better, the people with experience, they stay away from it. I think that is selfish. I think if you have the ability, you have the experience, you should come. And that's what I talk about, practical spirituality and practical Christianity. You cannot know you can do better than what exists, but you rather hold your skills and your ability and let your people suffer instead. And then you'd say you are Christian. I think that is wrong.
It's a passion to serve.
Yes, you have to come. Imagine, the Most High give us that type of ability. It's not us that have that type of ability. So if we are inspired by the Most High in terms of one, the ability, we should use it to serve our brother man rather than play selfish and keep it for ourselves.
Okay, let's take a phone call or two, and then we'll allow Joseph Isaac to wrap up this morning. Very interesting, one-on-one with Joseph Isaac from the Roseville Central seat to be representing the United Workers' Party in the next general elections. Hello.
Good morning, Matt.
Yes.
Good morning to Mr. Joseph Isaac.
Uh-huh.
Morning.
Mr. Isaac, we are very proud of you. In Roseville Central, we say Zico for Roseville. And we'll tell you why. We are just going to give you one reason why we are going to vote you as opposed to the other candidates. You know, the other candidate stayed with he has been affiliated with the Labour Party. The party has stayed there 15 years. The present man who's going to run for the Labour Party sat in the government, allowed the stadium to be built. No Roseau guys were employed. He sat there, allowed the state palace to be built. No Roseau man got jobs. So our painters, our tilers, our masons, you know, our carpenters, our electricians, and our semi-skilled to skilled people stayed unemployed. So if you can be there, projects of that nature, so big and grand, and rough people could have afforded themselves the opportunity to work and to gain for themselves. If you sat down there and did nothing, how can we gain food for you? So that's one of the reasons. So I hope, and I know that you're going to ensure that Roseau people are employed whenever a project is being done in Roseau. Have a good morning, and we are very proud of you, Mr. Joseph Isaac.
Thank you very much. Of course, Joseph, I'm going to give you 3 minutes to wrap it up. It's all, you have to cap it down there in 3 minutes. I'm sure we'll get another opportunity to speak to you some other time, but for the time being, that's all the time we have. Wrap it up.
Okay, so what I would like to say is to the general public is, my life has always been about delivery, implementation, and excellence. My opponent, as the caller said, has been within the Labour Party cabinet for 5 years. Roseau people, he cannot boast of any significant thing that Roseau people has gotten from the Labour Party where he has intervened. down to they are destroying the basketball court up in Bath Road, and it is not a Rosso company or Rosso guys doing the job. It's somebody from Vickers again. So he has no influence in the cabinet. Whereas within my party, you'd know and you'd be aware, me and the leader is close, me and the other colleagues, Joshua Francis, Thompson Fountain, there is significant respect for my opinion within my party. And if you can't respect your city, then what can you ever respect? So I'm coming in this thing genuinely. There is nothing to gain financially. What is there to gain is really so I could feel good that I've helped my people. For returning to Dominica, the two major times that I return, I'll just feel really happy to see that the talent that the Most High has given me, I've used it in the best interests of my people. And to me, I'm not there as a career politician to be there forever. I'll be there to serve 1-2 terms, because I think there is always talent coming, better talent coming. And that is why the Labour Party government and the candidates should realize that the United Workers Party, Team Dominica, is bringing better talent. So all they need to do is say, well, we have tried our best and opened the way for new talent to come. And that is why I'm saying change is a must with the United Workers Party. And finally, before I cap it off, I want to make people understand, in wealth creation, you do not stay in one business all the time. You keep moving. So you move an investment in one area, you convert it to cash, and you move. The bakery did not fail. The big bakery has deliberately closed so I could go into the Pocasse project, which Dominicans will hear about one of these days. That is really a tourism project. It's an ecotourism project where I'm building cottages and villas, that type of thing. So I'm moving away from an industry where it is cluttered, too much competition, and moving my investment into somewhere where you have better value creation and where it will not be impacted strictly on just your local population, but something from overseas. That is when the government change, I'm betting on when the government change, I'll see the fruition of that.
Let me ask you one final question, final question, Joseph Isaac. If you were looking forward to heading a ministry within the United Workers Party government, or a United Workers Party government, what would be your priority?
Well, my background and track record, you'd realize I can hold several different ministries. So, but it would most likely be trade, enterprise development, that type of thing, economic growth, that type of thing. And you'd be aware that in terms of sports and all those things, I can hold almost any ministry, you know? But that is not for me to say.
I'm just asking.
But I'm here. I just tell you where the preference would be.
Okay.
Trade, business development, that type of thing. And maybe tourism.
All right. You know? Joseph Isaac, we'll be talking to you again sometime. It was a pleasure, man.
Yes.
Have a great independence.
Yeah, you too, Matt. And have a great independence to every Dominican who is in Dominica and those abroad too.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Joseph Isaac.
Okay.